Chapter 1. Quote, "Love is a fire, but whether it is going to warm your hearth or burn down your house, you can never tell." Joan Crawford. Louise Newman always knew she was different than other children. It wasn't a question. She just was. As far back as she could remember, her sleep was interrupted by dreams so real they seemed alive. Bits and pieces of other lives intruded into her mind after she awoke, their voices whispering to her. "I dreamed of a woman with eyes too full of water," 5-year-old Louise announced one morning. "She walked out into Emerald Bay and tried to drink the lake." "Louise," her mother gasped, hand covering her heart, "you shouldn't say such things." "People tried to pull her out," Louise said, pointing to the window and the flat shimmer of water beyond. "But she drowned anyway. I saw it." Her mother looked from Louise to her husband, to the butsudan in the corner of the room. "Memories of another life mean you've come back for a reason," she said warily. Lou Newman, a self-declared atheist, lifted his gaze from his plate and grimaced. "Hardly, Yuki. Kids have crazy dreams. Louise just has an overactive imagination." "But it wasn't a dream," she argued. "It was real, Daddy. I remember." "Well, just don't go around telling everyone," he said. "They'll think you're off your rocker, baby." There were other things Louise just knew, like the man down the street who had a different family in a different town, and her classmate who'd killed his pet rabbit in the shed, then lied and said it had run away. Each realization separated young Louise from her peers, each memory that wasn't her own pulling her a little further to the side. Teased for her peculiar differences, she became an observer of life's chaos rather than a participant. Her mother was open to her daughter's visions, though Louise knew that they worried her. "You need to make sure you walk the right path," Yuki said. Even at the hardest times, Louise tried to remember that. Louise attended Waterton's small two-room school until 6th grade, its highest level. For the remainder of her childhood, she was shuttled to Cardston, the nearest town with a school. Trapped on a school bus for an hour each morning and each evening, she devoured book after book. She explored 100 worlds, indifferent to her peers and the passing of the universe. She went through her parents' bookshelves, moving on to the school's small library, then Cardston's public library, and onward from there, receiving tomes via interlibrary loans as years passed. She lived through these stories, her mind lost in the subtle variation of human existence. She understood them, could see them, knew them. The belief that she'd been born hundreds of times before never wavered. She left Waterton the summer after graduating from high school, taking courses at the University of Alberta with the anxious feeling that she shouldn't be there. Eventually, the emotion settled like a stone deep in her chest, leaving her jumping every time the phone rang in the apartment. A few weeks after Christmas, Yuki was diagnosed with breast cancer. Louise came home knowing it was to stay. Spring brought radiation treatments and chemotherapy, along with songbirds and wildflowers. Summer added tourists to the mix. Louise helped her father with the garage during the day and helped her mother with dyeing at night. She knew the end was near, just as she knew she needed to be there at her mother's side. And so she did what she'd been called to do, hold Yuki's hand as she passed from this world to the next. "What's the point?" her father muttered brokenly the day of the funeral. In the last months, his shoulders had curled like an autumn leaf. "The point is that we're not alive unless we also die," Louise said. Heartbroken, she lifted the urn, spreading her mother's ashes into the wind, watching them dance like smoke, then disappear across the surface of Upper Waterton Lake. Her father never answered. Years passed, and Louise settled into the role life had given her. She took lovers and let them go, made friends and watched them leave the town behind. The stories she read became a lens through which to understand the world. Disconnected, she stayed on the outside of conflict, offering words of solace and hope to those she loved. It put her on the edge of life, looking inward rather than fording the stream with the rest. By the time her father joined his wife in the next world, and Louise was the only Lou in town, she'd more than accepted that this was her place. The townsfolk, with their long-standing way,